headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're hearing more from James Franklin. He talked after the game, Penn State having beaten Buffalo 45-13. Franklin talked about the finer points of the game and some of the biggest storylines of the game. So we addressed a few of those earlier. We've got a few more, starting with Pat Freiermuth, a kid who was shaken up a bit in the second half against Idaho. We weren't sure what his situation was, whether he would or wouldn't play. He ended up being a pretty key figure in the second half against Buffalo. Ended up with 8 catches in all, 2 touchdowns. And I think his role in the offense was central in them finding their rhythm. So here's what Franklin had to say about Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, you know, played really well. I thought he played really well in game one. You know, obviously for us, I think it's very important offensively that we get, you know, KJ Hamler involved and we get Pat Freiermuth involved. Those guys need to touch the ball as much as we possibly can. We weren't as consistent in the run game, you know, this week, falling off blocks. I think that affected us just being a little bit more consistent. And we had some penalties, you know, that stopped drives. You know, I think we had 2 or 3 penalties in one drive. The one play, it wasn't even RPO. It was a pass play, and we had linemen 10 yards down the field blocking. Great effort, but you know, understanding the time and the place.
Sometimes, Greg, I feel like it's easy to forget that Penn State has a potential impact player at tight end. And this was a reminder, you know, that Pat Freiermuth is there, and, you know, the offense – and how it runs can be totally different whenever he's this active and this engaged and this frequently targeted, in this case by Sean Clifford. You know, obviously a guy who led the team in touchdown passes last year. It's a good sign, I think, that his role is going to grow, and that it deserves to grow, and that he can be, you know, one of the nation's premier players at his position.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just so darn good, Dustin. If Sean Clifford talked after the game, one of the best exchanges from this week was after the game. Pat Freiermuth said something to the effect of, you know, he didn't look as fast as Trace McSorley, and Clifford was sitting about you know, maybe a foot away from him and heard him and said, "Oh, that's the last nice thing I'll ever say about you, buddy," which was one of the highlights of the post-game news conference. But they clearly have a good rapport. They clearly have a good chemistry on the field. And I mean, my God, Pat Freiermuth made that one-handed catch look as easy as you can make a one-handed catch look. If you want to talk about a guaranteed without injury, three and done kind of guy, Pat Freiermuth is the definition of it. And I think, you know, to a point we were talking a little bit about off the air, he's another good example of, if a guy can play, just get him on the field. I mean, just get him out there and let him play, because, you know, Penn State is good. The way they're recruiting, they're going to have a lot of guys who are NFL ready in 3 years or 4 years, but they're probably going to have too many who are here for 5. So I think that if that's going to be the way it goes, you might as well get as much out of him while you can.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think, you know, you're just looking for confirmation that what you saw from Pat Freiermuth is not only what you'll see again this year, but you'll see even more from him. But you talk about the range, the hands, the body control, the confidence, the motion, the movement. It all looks to like a pretty elite tight end. And by the way, you know, he's not a one-trick pony at all either. He's a pretty willing and engaging blocker too. So he's a guy, I think, three and done might be a good thought there. James Franklin also addressed the run game, speaking of blocking, and didn't really have a lot to say about the you know, the lack of efficiency, let's put it that way. Said he still had to watch the tape, but he did have some thoughts on what he thought might have went wrong. Early thoughts on the run game.
Yeah, you know, I know you guys don't like this answer, but I gotta watch the tape to be able to say, you know, this is what needs to be corrected. From a run game perspective, sitting there and watching it and taking notes throughout the game, I didn't think we were finishing blocks. I think they were also very committed to stopping the runs with their cover four, defense that they play. So the safeties are always getting extra guys in the box with their safeties and are a downhill physical team. But that's also why we were able to make some big plays in the passing game. And we actually had some more. We had a couple posts. That Sean's got to lead that guy across the field, let him run away from the defender. And I think one was an interference call and one that we just, you know, left on the wrong angle. But, we knew that coming into the game. That's the style of defense that they play. Try to make you one dimensional, get the safeties involved in the run game, and make you beat them, you know, throwing the ball. And, you know, if you look at, you know, if you look at our numbers and how the game went, we did that in the second half. We just didn't do it as well in the first half.
So we hadn't watched the tape. I had to watch the tape yet, but not finishing blocks in the run game. Spoke about, you know, Buffalo's commitment to taking away the run game, which you probably saw some of that. I guess you have to pick your poison if you're a team like Buffalo, and you know you probably don't have the horses to be able to commit in both directions. So I think it's understandable that you've got a pretty new quarterback that you want to try to take away the run game. But at the same time, Penn State's should, in theory, have the bodies, have the talent to overcome, even if that's a central part of a team like Buffalo's, their game plan. Didn't happen for them, and wasn't a lot of room. You saw them you saw them when they found success was in the passing game and when Sean Clifford was running the football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think that this goes back to what we were talking about before, that there's just times when Penn State, for whatever reason, Dustin, it doesn't enforce its will on its opponent and make sure that what it wants to do is what's happening on the field. You know what I mean? It just, there's times when it feels like the opponent is dictating the game to Penn State, and that's not a winning formula. So, you know, obviously they're going to watch a lot of film this week and try and figure out what to do moving forward. But I just, there's a part of me that just wonders, why that is, why that seems to be a problem year after year and season after season and game after game, because that's something that good teams do. They enforce their will on other teams. They make sure their best players touch the ball and all that kind of stuff. So I know that really wasn't the point of what James Franklin was talking about, but at the same time, you know, we're talking about what Buffalo did to Penn State. Why is Buffalo doing anything to Penn State? I mean, right. I know that they're a football team too and that they have FBS guys too, but I mean, Penn State should just, in more cases than not, be the one setting the terms in a matchup like that. And I frankly didn't feel like they did.
I think you could probably just bottom line that right there as the lesson of the game. So an interesting thing with a young Penn State team is that seeing a lot of things for the first time. How about seeing you trailing on the scoreboard at the half for the first time? James Franklin talked about, you know, what you can learn from that struggle.
Yeah, they're all lessons. You know, they're all lessons. You know, how we practice, you know, how we compete, you know, being able to play with a lead, be able to play with a big lead and not let off and be able to put backups up in and they still play to the standard. There's lessons to be learned there. And then there's lessons to be played when you're playing a really good opponent and you don't execute as well as you need to in the first half. We keep our composure, we keep our poise, and do our jobs. And I think that's what we were able to do. So I think you're exactly right. There's lessons to be learned in the first game. There's lessons to be learned in this game. We were able to do that. We're still getting a W. We got a really good opponent next week, and you know we got to take the next step. But you know, I think there's going to be really good opportunities for growth off of this film, just like there was last week.
So I think you mentioned this earlier. It's a good situation for Penn State to be able to, you know, win going away like this, but at the same time run into some problems. James Franklin was searching for things that he might find on the Idaho film. He's not going to have to search that hard against Buffalo, and it's the kind of stuff that can make Penn State better moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they will improve this year if they keep, you know, building the building block, which sounds ridiculous. But, I mean, there's little things from every game that, you know, are going to be new things that this young team seems. And keep in mind, this is one of the youngest teams in – all of college football, according to Phil Steele's experience rankings. They're like 122 or 123 out of 126. So it's not as if this is an experienced team that's seen it all, like the Trace McSorley's of the world and the Nick Scott's of the world did last season. So they're going to find little things each week that, you know, they've never come across, and how do they deal with that? So trailing for the first time, I think, is a really good indication of something they learned for the first time. They're going to be trailing in the first quarter at some point too. They're going to be seeing things that were not on film, and they're going to have to adjust on the fly. So the earlier they see these things and learn about them before conference play, the better.
One more thing here, James Franklin talking about one of the standouts from the game, Jahan Dotson, and how naturally the game comes from. Here's what he had to say about Jahan.
Yeah, just a really impressive guy. You know, really from the day Jahan stepped on campus, he's one of those guys that the game just comes easy to him. His body control, his ball skills, his ability to change direction, make people miss. The double move that he ran there at the end, you know, the corner did a really good job, and he had to fight through it. You know, we had him beat, but sometimes you end up running back into the guy when he jumps on the route, and he found a way to make him miss. That's kind of who he is, and he's gotten bigger, he's gotten stronger, he's gotten more explosive, which is going to allow him to be able to make more big plays in terms of yak yards, in terms of being able to fight through defensive backs, you know, getting their hands on him. I think he's getting close to the point where, you know, he's got a Big Ten body that we need him to do, but we need him to keep plugging away in that area, because I think once he puts together a junior, senior body, NFL body, he's got a chance, I think, to have a very, very bright future here at Penn State and also after that.
Natural playmaker seems like a good way to put it. I think we saw that on film. Not the biggest guy in the world, but just has a feeling of how to play the game. And for that reason, plays bigger than his frame suggests he would.
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, again, we talked about earlier this week, is a guy that, you know, when he is able to continue, you know, as he continues to add the weight, he's going to be able to become more of a force. And he's a pretty big force already, as far as I'm concerned. So you put two and two together, and he is, you know, again, he was the first down guy last year. Now he's the very reliable guy this year. And I think that's going to probably make a big difference in terms of what, in terms of what Penn State's able to accomplish on offense this year as they continue to, give him more opportunity to be on the field and catch the football.
And it's an exciting addition to the Penn State passing game. Somebody who's crafty, but at the same time is really quick, has a way of getting down the field, as we saw against Buffalo. A good complement to KJ Hamler. Two small guys, as we mentioned before. I think the addition of Justin Shorter as a more routine target in the passing game can help make this whole offense better. So we'll see what happens. That's Penn State Buffalo. We're going to look ahead later in the week to Penn State Pitt. Thanks for tuning in this week. Be sure to check us out, Keystone Sports Network.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.